This morning we're going to be learning about King Josiah, and if you haven't noticed, that's what I named my son, King Josiah. All right, so I figured that Steve would eventually bring my family up here and ask us why we named our child what we named him. So I just figured I'm going to give you a whole sermon providing that answer. So now, as I researched the name Josiah, I'm surprised that he just didn't get more press. I mean, they didn't show him a lot of love. We had a lot of Josiah haters out there, I guess, because he's not well known like some other Bible characters, such as Abraham or Moses or Noah or David or Daniel, even Gideon. Gideon's name pops up every now and then, but Josiah, man, we don't hear a lot about his uncompromising faith. So what I want to do this morning is just work our way through the different kings of the Bible. And we're going to start just way early on and work our way towards the reign of Josiah. So check out this picture up on the board here. This is all of Israel. This is all of Judah. And this is the United Kingdom. All right? This is under Saul, David, and Solomon. And then what happened was the kingdom was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, as you can see here. Now, this division started back in 1 Kings 12 because the people couldn't agree on a leader. Because Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, was just evil. And the northern kingdom said, man, we don't want anything to do with him, so we're going to go our separate ways. So what we find is over a course of time, there were about 20 kings in Judah. There were about 19 kings in Israel. And you can see from this second graph, it kind of illustrates the ones that were good, some that were bad, and then a little bit of a mixture of both. It's not the best graph in the world, but it'll give you an idea. The ones there and the darker ones are the ones who were the good kings. So you have Asa, Jehoshaphat, which I'm not naming my kid that, and then Hezekiah and Josiah. Now, Hezekiah was the great-grandfather of Josiah, and he followed the Lord. But unfortunately, he was also the grandson of Manasseh and the son of Ammon, two of Israel's most wicked kings. So what I want to do, I want to highlight those guys, Manasseh and Ammon, and then we'll move our way towards Josiah. Now, Manasseh became king when he was 12 years old. And he reigned for 55 years. That's longer than any other king in the Davidic kingdom. And so, I'm sorry, the divided kingdom. And 2 Kings 21 tells us just how evil he is. Even though his grandfather was good and he learned how to do things right, he decided to go an opposite direction. So Hezekiah comes in, his great grandfather, and he wipes out, he gets rid of all the pagan idols and all those bad altars where they were sacrificing pagan gods. He gets rid of all that. And then Manasseh comes in and he resurrects all that. He rebuilds pagan high places that Hezekiah had destroyed. He erected altars of Baal and bronze statues and made an Asherah pole, which is nothing more than like a Canaanite fertility god, where it looks like a totem pole, like you would see at the 4-H camp out there at the Boy Scout camp, something like that. And they would place these in religious locations around Jerusalem. Now, I want you to think about this. They are placing religious things to pagan gods in the most holy city in the world. And so he's doing all this, and what made it worse is he encouraged his people to follow him in his idolatry, building altars for worship to these pagan gods. He even brought them into the temple. I want you to think about that, because I thought about bringing in a statue of Buddha and sitting it on the stage. And then I thought, well, that may not be a good idea, because you may take advantage of your concealed weapons permits. But what he was doing is he was intentionally spitting in the face of God, desecrating Solomon's temple with idols. And some of these pagan rituals were just disgusting, like the practice of killing of babies. So Manasseh, just because that's what you do, right? He burned his own children alive. Think about that. I mean, what kind of monster does that? It reads here in 2 Kings 21:6 that he sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced divination, sought omens, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing the Lord's anger. And as we are all aware, that evil haven't stopped today. Back in the day, they sacrificed their children to the idol of Molech, and today we sacrifice children to the idol of convenience. saying, I'm not ready yet, or I didn't want to get pregnant. I mean, how many unborn babies have been burned alive by saline injection? And if you're not familiar on how that works on an unborn baby, what it does, it literally it burns the baby to death while it's alive in the womb of the mother. And that's just what he did. That's what he did. He followed these pagan gods, practiced sorcery and witchcraft by sacrificing his own children in the valley of Ben Hinnom, which is actually right beside the Mount of Olives, if you've ever been to Israel. And so basically, they're killing these babies right outside the city gates. I mean, this is jacked up stuff. And so it reads that his followers did more evil in the nations the Lord had destroyed before anybody, before any of the Israelites. He led his people astray. They didn't follow the forefathers or the commandments of Moses and the law. Rather, they just followed this moron. And he shed, it reads that during his reign, they shed more blood, innocent blood, filled Jerusalem from end to end. Now, we know that he was eventually overthrown, and he was captured and taken to Babylon by the Assyrians, and he was thrown into slavery, but it only after he turned back to Yahweh. Check this out. This is neat. 2 Chronicles 33:10, it reads, "The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention." They weren't listening. And so the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner. Now check this. Put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackle, and took him to Babylon. And in his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors, the God of Moses, which is Yahweh. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. And so he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Here's this man that's just performed so much evil, deliberately worshiping other gods. He humbled himself before the Lord, and the Lord listened to his plea, and he saved him from slavery. And listen, if you don't hear anything else today, listen to this right here. If God can forgive people who've committed idolatry or the killing of babies, he can forgive all. Amen to that? The prostitute, the adulterer, the thief, our God is a merciful God. And there's not a sin in the world a man can commit that if he comes to the Lord and repents, that God will not forgive. And listen, I'm thankful for that. Because he's forgiven me of my wrongdoings. But there were consequences to this. There were consequences when he returned to Jerusalem as king. He was never, ever able to restore Judah and instill the principles of God. What he'd done in the past, all that evil impacted the people so greatly that he was unable to change the course and direction towards evil. And I think this is a good lesson for us. How many of you have known someone, or maybe you've fallen guilty of this and been led astray by a bad leader? Someone who has walked away from the faith because of a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a coach or a coworker or a boss or even a pastor, choosing them over the truth of God's words. I mean, that's what we see here. I mean, Manasseh knew what was right. His dad was doing it. But what he had done in the majority of his reign, all that evil, not only impacted the people that he was overseeing, but it impacted his own family. Ammon, his son, copied his evil ways. And I just pray that my mistakes are not so great that they impact my own son and cause him to turn away from the Lord. 2 Kings 21:20 speaks of his son Ammon, and it reads that he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And Manasseh, that is Manasseh, his father, had done. And he walked in all the way in which his father walked and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. And he abandoned the Lord, the God of his father, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. I mean, he was so evil that his officials started to conspire against him and had him assassinated in his own house, in his own palace. I mean, Ammon, the son of Manasseh, the son of the king, they were like, we'd rather have him be our leader. And so that's when Josiah enters the scene. This is about 600 years before Christ, and it comes at a crucial time because this was towards the end of the kings who were descendants of David. And we know that most of them were just tragic disappointments. We get that. But Josiah, however, did carry the faith, and I want you to listen what it reads here. 2 Kings 22. Now, we're going to be jumping back and forth between chapter 22 and chapter 23, so just stay with me here. 2 Kings 22, verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah, and she was from Boskoth. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Now, his name means the Lord supports, and you're going to find out later why the Lord would honor the meaning of his name. But how many of you are any 8-year-olds in here? Anybody that's 8 years old? Nobody? Did they all leave? We got one right here. Okay, can you imagine being the president of the United States? Because essentially, this is what that was like. The king, I mean, that means that you control what your parents say. You tell them what to do. Would you like that? Can you imagine 8 years old? Yeah, you would like that. 8 years old, that's a lot of responsibility. And apparently he had some pretty good godly advisors surrounding him because he chose not to follow the way of his father, Ammon. And I think all of us would agree that what is said here about Josiah is pretty good. I mean, can we agree on that? Shake your head yes. All right, can we agree on that? I mean, I believe all of us would like our names in Scripture with God saying about us, one who did right in the eyes of the Lord, rather than doing what is evil. I mean, he was a believer. And just by reading this, we would say that he was a good guy and how he carried himself as a believer. But check out this description given to him later on in life. So that was at the beginning. Now check this out. Later on, we're going to jump to 2 Kings 23:25, and it says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him, one who turned to the Lord as he did with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. I mean, it was good that God gave him a shout out as the one who was doing what was right. But saying there is no king before him or after him to turn to the Lord with all their heart and all their soul, with all their strength. I mean, that's a great compliment. That's exactly what Jesus commanded us to do in Matthew 22:37. And Josiah here is doing this. I mean, think about it. I mean, there's a verse proclaiming that there's never been a king like Josiah. Think about all the kings that's been in Scripture. There's never been a leader like Josiah that followed God like he did with all of his heart, soul, and strength. I mean, before he was good, he was doing what was right, but now he's following the Lord with all of his heart, in his soul, in his strength. And I would say that many of us are like Josiah here today. I mean, we're here today, and we are you're worshiping God through the worship of teaching and through offering and through song. I mean, I would say that all of us are pretty good believers trying to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. But here's what most of us are not doing. Following God with all your heart, all your soul, every ounce of energy you have. When you wake up in the morning, you put your feet on the ground, you're like, God, I'm giving you everything I got today. We're guilty of that, right? I mean, can we admit that? I mean, I'm guilty of this. And you may ask, what's the difference? What's the difference between being a good Christian or a good Christian who tries to do what's right and a great Christian that gives it all? And I would say it's the difference between one who is on fire for the Lord and then one who is lukewarm. One who's having a revival down in his spirit and one who's just going through the motions. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not evil. It's just, it could be better. And I was just inspired by a story just the other day of one of our students, Gabe Yeoman, when he was in the first service. He's down at Dreamland Pool. He's working there. Maybe he's just hanging out. I don't know. But he had one of these little gospel presentation cards that we usually hand out when we go out and we do some evangelism stuff. And he said, I just sat there and I just felt felt like God was calling me to present the word of God and present the gospel to this guy. And he's in the bathroom. I guess location doesn't matter. I mean, wherever you are, just do it. Same thing with Tia Moore. Is she here today? Tia did the same thing. She's working behind the counter at Dreamland, and there's a guy there. She's sharing the gospel with him. She invites him to church. Why did they do that? Because they have a revival going on in their spirit, and they want others to join the party. I mean, that's inspiring. That is inspiring. Maybe you feel like you need a spiritual get up and go. You ever feel like that? Like you need a spiritual get up and go. You need to get back on fire with the Lord. Like you want a revival in your spirit because you want to start having gospel conversations like they did at work or at school or in the bathroom or wherever you are, Starbucks or at the gym. That's what happened here with Josiah. You guys see that? He had a spiritual get up and go. He had a revival going on in his spirit, and it took him from a good king to a great king. And I want to tell you how it happens. So let's go back to chapter 22, to the beginning of the chapter. Let's go on the way back there. We're going to start there just at the beginning. Let me just summarize very quickly. Josiah, he starts to notice that some things are wrong in the temple. There's been some breaches. There's been some issues. It's broken down and needs some work, and he decides to fix it. So just like our baptistry just weeks before Easter, it was broke, and we had to bring in guys to fix it because that's what you do. So what he started doing, he started gathering, had people donating money, and he demands a collection for remodeling to be done in the temple. And then he calls up the property brothers and Chip and JoJo. And then Chip shows up to the scene, right? And he says, you know what day it is? Demo day. Apparently more of you need to watch HGTV. So notice here in verse 8, as he shows up to the scene, they start coming into the temple to restore it, to just demo day it, clean it out, get rid of all the trash. They did something. Read what it, look what it says here. It says, Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. They found the Bible. You see that? And here's what I want you to understand. In the life of Josiah, he did not have the word of God. He did not have the Bible as we know it today. So the children of Israel at this time, the believers, did not possess the Bible. And that's crazy. Isn't that crazy? I mean, seriously, we got like four or five Bibles. You go home, you probably have four or five Bibles on your bookshelf at home. If you don't have a Bible, you can go down to the Hollywood Inn Hotel down here. I'm sure they have one in the nightstand. Or if you go to the doctor's office, they got them there as well. It's so accessible. But throughout the course of all these evil kings that did not love God at all, the book of the law had gotten lost. It was thrown away. It was thrown to the side like most of us do with our Bibles when we leave church until we pick it up next Sunday. But that's what happened. It was thrown away underneath all that rubble and all that trash. There it was. And here's what I want you to see. Check this out. Listen. When the Bible says that Josiah was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord, he was trying to do so without access to the Word of God. Whoa. I mean, think about that. I mean, it's probable that Manasseh and or Ammon had destroyed any existing copies of Israel's covenant constitution, since there was every reason to believe that Hezekiah did follow that. We gather that from chapters 18 and 20. And this wouldn't have been difficult because back in ancient times, it's not like they had a lot of copies or any mass printing machines. So it's possible they just got rid of it. But when they did some spring cleaning and they removed all the trash and they removed all the rubble, they found this book. And look at verse 8 says when they found it. Look at it. Look what it says they did. Check this out. What did they do? What did Shaphan do? Come on now, answer it. He read it. He read it, and then he went to King Josiah, and he read it. And in 2 Kings 22:11, it reads that when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. Now imagine how it must have been for a young boy, a young king, hearing God's word for the first time, how his faith would have just lit up. But there would have been some remorse there, and that's why he tore his robe, because any godly king would tear his robe through genuine remorse. But he finally did it. He finally heard the word of God, and it was so important to him. And let me just say this. I just don't see people's faces light up when they hear the word of God anymore. Not as often until I'm in another country like Guatemala, like we're about to go to. And I think there is just because the Bibles are so limited. I mean, listen, if you go to another country, when I went to Africa with Steve, this is what we found. Often a church would only have one Bible taught by the pastor. And often what they would do is they would take the Bible and they'd rip out pages and they would give it to the congregants and they would take them home and they would memorize the word, bring them back, and they'd slip them right back in the Bible. But here in America, including me, we treat God's word like a spare tire. We break it out just during a time of need, when we're broken down, and we need some backup. But Josiah never had the Bible at all, and he was trying to do what was right. But listen, when he found the Bible, when he started reading the Bible, he now had direction, and he now had guidance. Listen, how many of us are trying to live a godly life without ever reading the Word of God? Can't do it, folks. You can't do it. And so often when we do read it, we just skim through or we speed read through Scripture. And that's not how we should read God's Word. This is why across the street, every single time we read a chapter or every time we read or whatever we're reading, I'm always asking you, give me observations. Give me observations, because I teach our garage students biblical hermeneutics, which is observation, interpretation, application. Basically, tell me what you see here. What is it you see? And we teach them this because we don't want them to casually read through the Scripture. If we casually read through the Scripture, we're going to be like that one pastor who instructed his congregation to boycott Hardee's restaurants. Now, is anybody even eating at Hardee's anymore anyway? You know what I mean? So it wouldn't be hard for him to do, but he instructed them to boycott Hardee's restaurants because he saw the sign on the Hardee's that read, "Free condoms." Unfortunately for him, he misread the sign. It actually read, "Free condiments." All right? But that's exactly what we do with Scripture sometimes. We don't read it intently and take every word to heart. And when Josiah read the Bible, listen to me, he did. And we have the Bible. It's not lost. We just choose not to access it at times. And so a few things I feel like that we can learn from Josiah's life and why I wanted to present this to you today. Point one is this. When you begin to read the Bible intently, your life will change. Now notice what happens here in 2 Kings 22, verse 13, when he found out the truth of this book. It reads this. "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have not gone before us," he's included himself here, "have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." So he said, you know what? We've been doing this all wrong. We've been doing this all wrong. Our forefathers before us, Manasseh and Ammon and some of those other kings, they've jacked this thing up. They've messed this thing up, and we have not obeyed the words of this book, and great is the Lord's anger against us. Now, this is tough because now he's addressing a society that didn't have the Bible. So obviously, they got some issues, right? They got some problems. But I want you to think about this. Stay with me, because if the Lord is angry with the people and they didn't have the Bible to go by, I mean, Josiah was living the best life he could, right? There was no Bible present. And so when I was reading to this, I just kept thinking, you know, what's my excuse? What's our excuse? I mean, we got a plethora of Bibles. You can look around the sanctuary. They're all over the place. You can get it right on your smartphone app. And so I was thinking, God, you know, if you're angry at these people who did not have the Bible, how angry is he at those that do and willfully choose not to follow him? And I've seen in the life of Josiah, when you read God's word intently, it will change the way you think, and consequently, it will change your life, the way you live. Point two is this. When you read God's word, share it with others. I want you to look what Josiah did. We're going to jump to chapter 23. It reads that, "Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem," everyone. "He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of the Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. Again, he's including everyone here. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, his statutes, and decrees with all of his heart, with all of his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. So Josiah, he recognized that the word of God was important, that he had to share it with other people. He didn't hoard what he had heard. He had to tell other people. And let me just say this, because I just think we can do better, folks. I think we fail at this big time. And let me just say, if you're in this room and you're not sharing Christ, having gospel conversations on a regular basis, then maybe you've missed the importance of the Bible. Maybe you've missed it. You haven't truly grasped that the fact that people are going to hell. It's true. There are people out there that are going to hell, and the Word of God provides the only truth and source of that hope. I mean, maybe that's you this morning. And maybe you need a spiritual get up and go, a revival down in your spirit like we heard about earlier. Because that happens when you read the Bible intently. That's what happened with Josiah. From the moment he received the Bible, everyone under his watch, you saw it. It read all people, from the least to the greatest. Everyone heard the word of God. Everyone under his watch that he was responsible for. My question is there anyone under your watch that's not hearing the word of God? Is there? Who are you telling what you know from this book? Let me just say this, that God doesn't need you to. He doesn't. God is God. If he wants to proclaim the word of God in somebody, if he wants to reveal himself to someone, he can do that. He's God. You see that all the way through Scripture. He doesn't need you, but he chooses to use you. And so I'm asking you to allow yourself to be used by God. And that's what Josiah did here. Point three is this. Eliminate the things in your life that are keeping you from Jesus. Now, again, imagine Josiah. He's there. He's devastated. He has the word of God in front of him, and he's devastated because he's led these people astray unknowingly. Remember, he didn't know. So what he does is he begins to act quickly. And what you read over the next several verses there in 2 Kings 23 is he burns everything that defied the Lord, the articles of Baal and Asherah. He burned them in the fields. And then what he did, he spread the ash all over the graves, the people who were the idolaters. And he destroyed any unclean altar that had been worshipped on by a pagan god. He got rid of it. So basically he comes in and he cleans house. Nick, he did what any good coach would do when he comes into a new program. He got rid of the old people and brought in his people, good people, high character guys. And that's what we see here, that he got rid of any Levitical priests that had offered sacrifices on the high places to pagan gods. And he removed them from serving any of the rededicated altars. All the new altars, he said, man, you're out. You can't even worship that either. You're done. And so we read here that verse 7, it says, he also tore down the quarters of the male shrine and prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord, the quarters where women did weaving for Asherah. So apparently, there have been male prostitutes living in the side rooms of the temple. Now, how sick and demented is that? We read in verse 10, it says he desecrated Topheth, which was in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so no one could use it to sacrifice their son or daughter in the fire of Molech. Now, let me ask you, why did they stop killing children and babies? Why? Because Josiah started reading the Bible. And he realized it wasn't right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, think about this. Before the Bible, this is okay. He allowed this. He did. But as soon as he started reading the Bible, he realized that that was murder. And so as we read on, he even pulled up dead bodies of the idolaters. He pulled up their dead bodies and burnt their dead bones, took their dead bones and burnt them on the altars before demolishing those altars. It says he removed all the pagan shrines of the high places that the evil kings of Israel had built that aroused the Lord's anger. I mean, he went radical. But I believe that's what God wants. God wants a radical believer. He doesn't want any fakes out there. He doesn't want any CIA Christians. He wants you all in. I mean, that's exactly why we do this baptism up here. When we go fully in that water, we immerse ourselves in the water. We are communicating to everyone out here that, listen, I'm all in this Jesus thing. I'm not partway in. I'm not sprinkling my way in. I'm in this thing. He wants you to go radical, not lukewarm. He wants you on fire for the Lord. And he wants you to get rid of things in your life that are keeping you from Jesus. That's what he did when he started reading that Bible. And let me just tell you, any girlfriend, boyfriend, anything on your computer, your phone, your job, any TV series, any movie you're watching, some of the stuff that we're watching, we're just filling our minds with filth and garbage. And we're allowing our students to watch it. They tell me about these TV shows. It's just stupid. Get rid of that stuff. Get whatever it is, social media account, get rid of it. Because when you read the Bible intently, it will change the way you think. And in turn, it will change the way you live. And you may ask, why did I name my son Josiah? Why am I telling you about the life of Josiah? Why am I telling you to follow this path of reading God's word, telling others and applying it to your life, recognizing sin and turning away from it and ridding yourself from your anything that causes it? Why? Because I want to see you, just like Josiah, move from good to great in your relationship with the Lord. And let me just say this, your age doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't let your age disqualify you from serving God. Just like Manasseh had a choice, he could have followed the ways of his forefathers, his father Hezekiah. He made a choice to go another route. Josiah made a choice. Could have followed Manasseh, could have followed his father Ammon, and he made a choice to follow the Lord rather than to follow in their footsteps. And let me tell you, we have a choice too. We got a choice too. And Josiah, man, he will always be remembered as Judah's most obedient king. And that's awesome. That's amazing. So listen, this is my plea to you guys as you leave here today. Man, allow this book to guide your path. You know, I'm encouraging you to read this intently and watch God, how he can change the course of your life as well from good to great.